Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for a Sunday morning sermon right here on our website. Sunday Morning Alive is what we have called this time as we gather around the Word of God to hear a sermon from the Scriptures on a subject that I believe every time we gather around the Word, there will be something for somebody in this listening audience. I've been preaching the Word or teaching the Word before, and it was something for me. And I studied it, and I knew it, and I preached it probably before because I've been preaching the gospel for over 50 years, half a century, and yet I'm still discovering things that I need to know in order to walk in victory and power and peace in this very, very troubled world that we are living in. Oh, dear friend of mine, there is victory for the believer, but it comes through a knowledge that we receive from the Scriptures. It doesn't come through just being filled with the Spirit. You can have the Holy Ghost, amen, and all the power that that represents, and He represents in your life. But listen, amen, you've got to have an attitude of heart, and you've got to have an aptitude for the Word of God to hear it and heed it and apply it if you want to walk in victory. That power doesn't take care of everything that we are to do. I heard a song not too long ago that deep inside the armor, this mighty, invincible armor of God, the warrior is a child. In other words, without that armor, we're human, 100% human. We can't move. We are not supernatural, and being baptized in the Holy Ghost doesn't make you supernatural. It gives you dunamis, miracle-working ability, but not in your flesh and of yourself. And I'm going to tell you something. If that warrior inside that armor gets discouraged and gets distracted and gets deceived, he will lower, or she will lower, that shield of faith, sheath that mighty sword of the Spirit, amen, listen, and be turned aside in the day of battle, because attitude, let me say it again loud and clear, attitude is going to determine the outcome. And that's why I believe what we need in order to implement God's armor, stay in the race, win the battle, we need a new perspective on trials and testings. That's the title of our sermon today, A New Perspective on Trials and Testings. That's why the Bible said in the book of James to those Christians who were being persecuted and being scattered, they had to literally run for their lives and hide in different places and leave their jobs and sometimes their families and whatever they had to do to survive. And they're under the gun. And what is their message from the Word of God? Count it all joy when you fall into divers, which means many different kinds of temptations. And in that sense, it is not just temptations to sin, sins of the flesh. It is the testings that are inevitably going to come in life, and particularly as a child of God living for Christ. For all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In this world, Jesus said, this world, this fallen world, you shall have tribulation. I don't know about you, amen, but I've been very, very consistently biblical in that respect, because my whole Christian life has been one trial, one test after another, along with, of course, those temptations to sin, those temptations to give in to the lust of the eyes, the flesh, the pride of life. But there are also the testings that come, and they will consistently continue to come. You see, if you're a true Christian, the trial you may be going through that God will surely take you through, bring you through, and make you stronger in Him, and draw you closer to Him, and destroy all pride producing trust in ourselves, only then And then only will we find true power and true peace. Amen. Listen very carefully. Count it all joy. That's an attitude. Amen. Hallelujah. When you fall into many different kinds of tests, knowing this, this is the knowledge that comes. That's why this is what creates the new perspective that we need toward trials and testings. We can't build our faith to some level where we live in a bubble. We can't do that. That's why there's so many discouraged, disillusioned Christians out there, because we don't know how to react when trials come. Sometimes we question God's love. Sometimes we question His presence and promise to be with us. Sometimes we question our own faith. And then even worse, we question His faithfulness. And the devil is cackling, he's laughing, because he knows the very trials that have come, and God, many times the devil wants to hurt us and harm us, but God is able to make everything work together for good to them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. Praise God. Amen. So we want this new perspective on trials and testings. Count it all joy, James chapter 1. Count it all joy. This was written to those who were scattered all over the place through persecutions. Count it all joy. When you go through various temptations, testings, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Hallelujah. And we're told, listen, I just want to grab the promises. I don't want to develop, amen, this enduring kind of tough faith that'll take me through trials. I don't want no trials. I want to confess I have no problems. I want to confess that I have nothing but blue skies, amen, and butterflies. Listen, friend of mine, you're not going to have every day a blue sky and a butterfly. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have storms in life. And if you're not equipped with an attitude initially that'll keep you steady and not move you from your position of faith in God. The Bible said, be followers of them who through faith and patience, not faith alone, but faith and patience. And this word for patience is perseverance. That means you don't give in, you don't give place, you don't give up. Amen. You continue to believe even when it seems that nothing is changing. In fact, sometimes the trial, the storm that you're in may get worse before it gets better. What do you do when it gets worse? Do you give up on God? Do you question God? Listen, I've questioned God many times, not to His face. I'm not going to stand up. I got better sense than that after all these years. I'm not going to stand up and accuse God. But in my heart, I question. He sees that. But He also sees the fact that in spite of the questions in my heart, I believe God is good. And I believe His mercy is in play, even when I'm going through a hard place. Listen carefully. If you're a true Christian, the trial that you may be going through, that God will take you through. Don't doubt it. The Bible said, think it not strange. You're not unique. You haven't fallen from this place of hyper faith where you manipulate life to your liking. No, you're just a normal Christian, and normal Christians go through and are not kept from everything. They tell me that if you should let your kids get dirty, doctors have said, you'll have to listen, let your kids get dirty. Don't keep them in a pristine, antiseptic atmosphere, because they'll have no resilience against anything and they will catch everything. But if they build up a resistance to things because they're allowed to experience all the touch all the things and do all the things. Oh, yeah, they may get a germ here and there. They may get. Now, I'm not talking about let them get in muddy, filthy water. And I'm talking about let them interact with the environment. Don't try to keep them in a bubble or they will never build up a resistance to anything. They tell me that many Indians died from a common cold and flu that were brought to them when people from Europe came here because they brought these things that they get colds, but they get through it. But the Indians had never had it and had no resistance to it. And many of them died from what was common to the rest of us. Yeah, there were exceptions. Somebody died of the flu because the fever got up. They couldn't get it down. And yes. But by and large, the Indians died because they had never had it and never built up a resistance to it. God wants us to trust him to take us through if he chooses not to take us from. Now, if it's my choice, I'm not going to go through anything. I want to be kept from it. I mean, that's like a dentist say, do you want Novocaine? You want me to numb your gums before I go to work on this bad tooth and grind it down and fill it and hit a nerve or pull it or whatever? Yes, sir. I want it. And if you got any extra, give that to me too. Amen. I don't want to go through any pain. I don't want to go through pressure, but I want to get through life with victory and glorify God. Listen carefully. If you're a Christian, I'm going to say it again. The trial you may be going through, that God will surely take you through, and he will surely bring you through, will make you stronger in him if you will trust him to take you through. Take it not strange, the scripture said, the fiery trial that has come to try you as some strange thing has happened unto you, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested above that you are able, literally enabled by him to bear. You're not able in yourself to bear these things, but in him there is something called the sufficiency of grace, and Paul discovered it because God took him through instead of keeping him from. And he would have never discovered that. He would have never been able to say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's not just about power. That's about sufficient grace, because the actual context says it would read this way, that I am equal to anything. No matter what the devil throws against me or life throws against me, I am equal to it. Amen. Through Christ which strengtheneth me. And he talked about taking pleasure in all these painful, pressurized things that he faced because he knew what it would produce. He said that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Come on, it's more than getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's more than just having power. It's having a power that is released as we stand firm in our faith in the face of trials and testings. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to read this to you and see if we get this new perspective. Well, let me finish James chapter 1. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse testings and temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience, perseverance here as it's used, have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And then the next verse says, if any man lack wisdom, and this is specific to trials and testing. Amen. This is not general wisdom. This is specific to trials and testings and their purpose and how we should react to them in our life. If we lack wisdom about these things that we will all face without exception, amen. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Amen. This is not accusing God, questioning God. It's asking God, okay, what does this mean? And what are you doing in my life? And if I keep trusting you, in spite of all the doubt and fear that knocks on my door, amen, my heart's door, my head's door, praise God. What will be the outcome of this? Are you really able to make all things work together for good? Because, Lord, I do love you. Amen. Hallelujah. And I am called according to your purpose. Well, we better read this. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth, and that's where the devil wants you. He wants you to be a wavering, vacillating Christian, that you don't stand. Oh, you stand on the word until the storm comes. You stand on the word until it doesn't just pop and work for you. You don't persevere in faith. If you're going to stand, you've got to stand through the storm. I heard of a man one time that got caught out from any kind of shelter in a hurricane, and he had a rope, and he roped himself to a palm tree and rode out the storm. Praise God. There's a time when we need to rope ourselves to God's faithfulness that we might weather the storm. Praise God. Let me read this from 1 Peter chapter 1. It said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, who's this written to? To the strangers scattered throughout. These are the persecuted Christians on the run. Amen. Listen, from Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you. Grace unto you. What does God offer and promise to give us? No matter what the trial or the test, the sufficient grace we need to go through, not just be kept from. Amen. What's he say in verse 3? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's reminding them of what their future is to get their focus off of the fiery trials of their present. Amen. Do you see this switch in focus that he's calling them to? To an inheritance, verse 4, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. He's calling them to look beyond the earth plane and the temporary to the heavenly and the eternal. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen to verse 5. While we're going through these things, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, to be ready to reveal in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, underline, hallelujah, put in parenthesis, highlight it with a highlighter, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, testings, persecutions, trials. Listen, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Think it not strange that what kind of trial? This little test? No, this big one. This fiery trial that you've come to try you with, some strange thing has happened unto you, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to bear, who will with the temptation, with the test, amen, make a way of escape from it? No. Listen, a way of escape that you might be able to bear it, literally to bear up under it. Because when he brings you through, you will be better and not bitter. if you get the right attitude and right perspective, when you enter into that trial, praise God, when they throw you in that fiery furnace, amen, before you start questioning God, look for the fourth man in the fire. Look for Jesus. Look to Jesus, because He's right there with you, like He promised, when it seems like He's nowhere to be found. Amen. Listen very carefully to this. Amen. Hallelujah. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Keith Green wrote a song, and I remember one lyric of that song. He brought me here where things are clear and trials turn to gold. Count it all joy. When the trial comes, you know God is committed to taking you through and teaching you not to trust in yourself. Remember what the Apostle Paul said? I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning the trials we went through in Asia. How we were pressed beyond measure. Amen. Oh, and despaired of life itself, that we might learn. There's a lesson that can only be learned. You can't learn it in a Bible class. You can't learn it in a Bible college. You learn it in the school of life. Walking out your faith, living out your faith, discovering His faithfulness and the sufficiency of His grace. Praise God. You'll discover what Joseph discovered in the Old Covenant when he said, "You meant it for evil." It was meant for evil, but God meant it for good. God took what was meant for evil and brought good, hallelujah, out of that was meant to hurt and harm and destroy. God is a master of doing that, and we need to trust Him even more when we are the weakest. So Keith Green wrote the song, "He Brought Me Here," where things are clear. He got that new perspective on trials and testings. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you getting a new perspective? What did Jesus say? He said, "Count it all joy." Count it joy. Amen. "When they cast your name out of evil and speak all manner of evil against you for my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward." Here? No. "Great is your reward where you should be laying up your treasure in heaven." Praise God. Let me read you one scripture right here. C.H. Spurgeon, he said this. He said, "We are not strong when we compliment ourselves upon our ability. And we are strong when, under a sense of absolute inability, we develop our faith and depend wholly upon God. Every God-called man, of course, or woman, has experienced that strength in our weakness. Creature strength brings forth nothing which has life in it. The only seed in which the Creator puts in the hand of our weakness will produce a harvest. The only seed is that which the Creator puts in the hands of our weakness will produce a harvest. It's well to be nothing. It's better still to be less than nothing," he said. "Lord, help me. You shall bear up triumphantly and come out of the furnace refined to the praise and glory of your God. When we are growing weak, when we become weaker and weaker, when we seem to faint into a deeper swoon than ever as to our own strength, till death is written upon every power that we once thought we had, and we feel that we can do absolutely nothing apart from the Holy Spirit, then we are strong indeed." Let me finish We need some Spurgeons today. We got some hot shot preachers thinking that if you get your faith developed to such a high level, you can live in your mansion, in your compound with a big wall around it and security out front, and you won't have any problems in life. You'll just live with blue skies and butterflies. Listen what Spurgeon says. I'm amening him here. Can you amen this after what you have heard from the Word? Let me persuade you, he says, to make a full confession of weakness to the Lord. Say, Lord, I cannot do what I ought to do. I cannot do what I want to do. I cannot do what I used to do. I cannot do what other people do. I cannot do what I feel impelled to do. And over this sinful weakness I mourn. Then add, Lord, I long to serve thee perfectly, yet I cannot do it. Unless thou help me, I can do nothing aright. There will be no good in my actions, my words, my feelings, or my desires, unless thou continue to fill me with thine own holy energy. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Brother, are you strong while you plead in that fashion? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And He will strengthen you now that you're emptied of self. How true it is. When I am weak, then am I made strong. The words of the great Apostle Paul, who God took through it. Amen. And he ended up saying this after going through so many tests in his life. Praise God. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. And surely there's a crown laid up for me. Hallelujah, in glory. And not me only, but all those who love His appearing. Today I want to encourage you in the midst of the trial that you are going through. May I suggest to you from the Scripture, may I declare to you that your faith hasn't failed because you have fallen down on your knees and cried out to God for help and strength that you realize that you do not possess. And your faith has shifted. It's had a paradigm shift from faith in my faith, my ability to be strong, my resolve to never waver. You need the resolve. You need the ability, but it doesn't come from you, dear friend. It comes from Him. And you won't discover that until you're empty of you. Can you say amen? Praise God. I know. I know that in my flesh there's no good thing. Oh, but in Christ Jesus there is everything. Everything that I need. For He hath given me through and in Christ Jesus all things that pertain to life and godliness. Praise God. Oh, friend of mine, I'm not a mighty man today, but I'm a mighty believer in the sufficiency of His grace. Amen. The unfailing power of His love. Even when it seems like He is nowhere to be found, He's really in the midst of that fire with us, there keeping a promise to us that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you. Amen. I won't keep you from needing me. I will be there in the trial when you need me the most. Take a hold of the hand of the man from Galilee. Praise God. He will uphold you with the right hand of His righteousness. He will keep you from falling. He will keep you from failing. And when you overcome, He and He alone will get all the credit for it. And He will be glorified. Hallelujah. Oh, friend of mine, hold on to God. Because He is holding on to you right here and right now. Because you are His child. And He's your heavenly Father. Praise God. Oh, friend of mine, if you don't know Jesus today as your Lord and your Savior, the Bible says of you, and I say it many times at the close of our broadcast, it's a terrible place to be. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're without God. And the Bible said that you're without God and without hope in this world. In this fleeting world, this fallen world, this sin-darkened world, where we can count on nothing but the surety of death one day, and after that, the judgment of God. Dear friend of mine, wouldn't it be so wonderful to know that your sins are forgiven, that you've been reconciled unto God, and once you are, you're still in this world, this troubled world of trouble and heartache and heartbreak and death and dying and disease, but you're not alone anymore. You'll never be alone again. He's promised, through Christ and in Christ, I will never know, never, ever, 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 ever. It's reiterated in its connotation. I will never leave you. No, never forsake you. I will go with you. Hallelujah. All the way, even unto the end of the age. Hallelujah. You can have that promise because you can have that person to keep it. So come to Jesus today. Repent of your sin. Quit looking to drugs or alcohol to heal the brokenness in your heart that drives you to seek something to numb you. Oh, come to Christ. Come to Christ and be saved. Reconciled to God, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and kept safe from the wrath to come. Come in Jesus' name.